Hey, welcome to the Everyday Immunity Podcast, a place where we talk about different ways to boost the immune system naturally each and every day. I'm your host, Alicia Rosati of Rosati Nutrition. Hey guys, welcome to episode 3. I am seriously so excited to talk about this topic with you guys today. And in case you can't tell by the title, we are talking about IBS. And for those of you who don't know what IBS is, it's irritable bowel syndrome. So as you could probably guess, this is going to be a fun, slightly awkward podcast to listen to and for me to talk about. Things are going to get a little personal. We're going to talk about poop. We're going to talk about food. We're going to talk about a lot of things in this podcast. So this is your fair warning. If you are one of those people that get awkward in those kind of situations where other people are listening to you listen to awkward topics, then probably listen to this when you're alone is what I can say, because there's a lot of valuable information that I'm going to be talking about in here. So yeah, let's just hop into it. So I found out I had IBS, I believe it was third year of university. Yeah. So this was like a few years ago, 2 or 3 years ago, I believe now. So I found out that I had IBS. Again, if you guys listen to my previous episodes, you'll know that around September, October is the time that I always stress and get sick, because apparently my body does not know how to handle stress whatsoever. And September, October is always the time when a new school year starts. So I think it's because I put so much pressure on myself with school and academics from such a young age that anytime a new school year started, my body just kind of like subconsciously knew it's crunch time, it's go time, we're stressing, we're getting hundos or nothing, like, you know, and I did that to myself. I know I did. I'm working on it. I mean, I'm not in school anymore, but if I still take a course here and there, I know that I'm doing it because of passion, not because I'm forced to and I need to get 100% to prove that I'm worthy of passing the course. Like, I had a messed up way of thinking when I came to school, honestly. It was like anything below an 80 was a straight fail. Like, who does that? So I kind of got better throughout university. I was okay getting the 80s and the 70s and sometimes the 60s. Sorry, mom and dad. But you know those courses that I'm talking about. Those courses that are just absolutely trash and terrible, but you need to take it for your graduation requirements. And it's like, yo, if I get a 50, I'm good. I'm happy. University life definitely changed my outlook with academics compared to high school and especially elementary school. So I found out that I had IBS because I started noticing that everything I ate gave me an upset stomach, like everything. And I know that I'm lactose intolerant. I know I can't have dairy, so I avoided the dairy. And I ate pretty healthy. Like, I'm not gonna lie, I was into cooking my own meals and plant-based and all that kind of fun stuff. So when that would bother me, I'm like, yo, like, what can I eat, man? Like, why me? Why is there something else that has to bother me? And I went to the doctor because after about a month or so of just like not being able to eat anything, I was like, yo, something is wrong. Something is up. I need to go check this out. I'm telling you, like, I would take 2 bites of a sandwich and I'm like, ugh, like, I gotta go yak or something. Like, it's just bad. So we go to the doctor and right away she's like, celiac disease, bam. Because everybody avoids gluten nowadays, which I understand a lot of people do, in fact, have celiac disease. It's a real thing. I just don't think everybody needs to cut gluten out of their diet. But that's a topic for another time. So yeah, right away, she's like, let's test for celiac disease. I'm like, okay. Then we also told her that my cousin has Crohn's and colitis. And she's like, ooh, that could be genetic. So we're going to test for that as well. We tested for a whole bunch of things. If I had a stomach ulcer, if I had a bug, if I had worms, if I had like E. coli overgrowth or like something like that. We tested for everything. Now, what does that testing look like? I'm going to tell you, it's awkward and it's degrading. I'm going to be very honest. So I did like a normal blood test and for like celiac and all that kind of stuff. But then they need to check your stool cultures. Yeah. So they have to check your stool cultures for like bacterial overgrowth and whatnot. So you literally need to like poop in something and send in your poop sample to the lab. Again, not a very fun time in my life. Not really proud of that, but it's the way she goes. I'm sure other people have done a lot more embarrassing things. It's fine. I'm okay with it. I'm really not, but I'm telling myself I am. So yeah, had to do that test and everything came back normal. Everything came back negative. And I'm like, okay, I'm happy because I don't seriously have something wrong with me, but I'm not happy because what the heck could it be? Like, I'm not crazy. I know that my stomach really is hurting when I eat, and I know that I'm not just like psycho. So we asked to go see a specialist. So we go see him, and he's this like really old, kind of awkward doctor. And already I'm like, oh my God, he's not going to know a damn thing. Which is bad on my part, I know. So he tells me that because I'm only, I believe I was like 22 at the time. He's like, you're so young. I don't want to do a colonoscopy on you because you are so young. And he's asking me about like my life and my school life and my social life, all that kind of stuff. And I'm like, what does any of this have to do with my gut and not being able to eat? But sure. So I answer his questions and he's like, honestly, I think you're just dealing with stress-related IBS. I'm like, huh? He's like, yeah, a lot of university students deal with it because they let the stress of school and work and paying tuition and relationships and all that kind of stuff, they let it get to them. And it affects their gut. It affects their like microbiota in their gut. It affects all of that. And I was like, whoa, like that actually makes sense. And he goes, have you been stressing lately? And I'm like, yeah, like, yeah. So he's like, that's 1,000% what you're dealing with. And he made me do a couple other blood tests and again, another stool culture sample. So I did all of that again. And those also came back as normal. So he's like, yeah, if the tests come back normal, then 1,000% you're dealing with IBS. And I'm like, okay, so what does that mean for me? And he told me, that I could not eat any fresh fruit or raw vegetables. And the best way for me to eat vegetables was like mushy, cooked, fully cooked vegetables. And I'm like, ugh, like, what happened to my raw plant-based life? Like, this is going out the window and I'm not happy about this. So I gave it a shot. Fine. I think it was like the following week, my mom decided to make this Italian dish. If any of you Italians are listening, I'm pretty sure it's more a Northern Italian thing. But if you guys have ever heard of peperonata, that's what I had. So basically, what it is, it's kind of like a stew of overcooked, like all the vegetables get so mushy. It's like peppers, onions, eggplant, and tomato. And it becomes kind of like a stew soup sort of thing. And you just like dip bread in it and you eat it and it's full of fiber. Like it's amazing. But at the same time, the vegetables are overcooked. So a lot of those nutrients and stuff get damaged, which is why he told me I can eat overly cooked food. Now, keep in mind, this was probably not the best thing for me to eat because, like I said, it is still full of fiber. And I learned the hard way that I should never, ever, ever eat this again. Ever. And I used to eat this a lot growing up. Don't get it wrong. I love this dish. And I can never eat it again because, let me tell you, the pain that ensued afterwards, I cannot even describe it. It literally feels like someone was grabbing my insides and twisting them through a vise repeatedly and then stomping on them. It was the most pain I have ever felt ever. I literally remember sitting on the toilet for 20 to 30 minutes crying because my insides hurt so bad, worse than any period cramps I've ever had. Like, it was bad. I'm like, oh my God, like, why would this guy tell me to eat this? I'm so upset. Like, I'm never eating this again. But I thought maybe it was just I don't know, something was wrong, something was bad. It could have been something else I ate that day. So I tried it again one more time. And no, it was not different at all. It was just more painful, if anything. So I vowed, I'm like, no, I'm giving up. Like, I'm going to look into this myself. And that's what I did. And honestly, like, I've learned throughout my life that nobody knows my body better than I do. And I feel like nobody cares about it as much as I do. Like, I understand doctors and specialists, this is literally their job. But how many patients do they see on average a week, a day, right? You're not the only patient that they see and that they care about. Sure, I'm not saying all doctors don't care. Of course they do. But a lot of doctors, especially the older ones, it's just like so repetitive that, oh yeah, you just have this, do this, and that's it. But no, like, no one is going to care about your body and your well-being more than you do. And that's just a fact. So I took it into my own hands yet again. And I wanted to learn what IBS really is, because through all of this, no one ever told me actually what it is. They just told me that you're sensitive to food. Okay, but why? Like, what is happening in my body that is causing me to be sensitive to certain foods? So I set out on my research mission yet again, and I actually found out what it really is and what I'm dealing with. And honestly, kind of sucks, but it's very, very treatable. So for those of you who don't know, IBS has a lot of times also been called leaky gut. And for good reason, because what it is you have your intestines, right? And now your intestines are supposed to be like a permeable wall that pulls out nutrients out of your food, and whatever's left is literally waste that you literally poop out. But sometimes when you have IBS or leaky gut, that intestinal lining becomes super thin and too permeable. So food that has not even been digested yet can actually leak through your intestinal wall, and that's what's causing irritation and symptoms like bloating and gas. Some people have constipation, some people have diarrhea, and some people have both. And honestly, I really feel for those people, because for me, I mostly dealt with like the diarrhea side, which was not fun. Like, yeah, sure, I lost a lot of weight and it was like a free cleanse, but no, it was not fun and it was not good, let me tell you. So why does this happen though? Stress is a really big factor. And that's what it was for me. Like, stress, you guys don't realize how much of an effect stress has on your body. And I've come to learn it the hard way throughout my entire life. Stress can decrease your immune system. Stress can ruin your gut health. Stress can cause skin conditions. Stress can affect like your mental clarity. It just, like, there's no end to what stress can do, and it sucks. So what I was dealing with was gut issues at this point in my life. So what was happening was when I was eating food, and in the beginning it was really like any food. Like, I'm telling you, whether I ate bread, fruit, veggies, meat, like red meat, or even white meat, like chicken, like, it really didn't matter what I ate. It's just everything bothered me, and I would bloat up immediately. Like, I would look like 6 months pregnant after eating like 3 bites of food. And it's not like I'm wolfing it down and like swallowing a lot of air. No, I'm sitting there eating slowly, and after 3-4 bites, I'm like, ugh, can't take another bite. Like, my stomach is huge and it hurts and I'm nauseous. This is not okay. And that's what was happening. Food was leaking through my gut, which is obviously not a good thing. And what happens is, if you want to get more technical with it, your food leaks through your gut lining and your immune system attacks it, because your immune system is like, whoa, like, you're not supposed to be in the bloodstream. What are you doing here? It's an invader. So your immune system comes in and attacks it, when really, these are vitamins and minerals and like food particles. This is what's nourishing you, but your body doesn't recognize that because it hasn't been broken down yet properly in your intestines. It's floated somewhere that it's not supposed to be. So while it is nourishing and it's safe and it's helping you, it's not like hurting you in any way, because it's where it's not supposed to be at its proper state in being broken down, your body doesn't recognize it, so it thinks that it's a foreign invader, and that's when you get inflammation, and that inflammation is what causes the pain in your intestines, and that inflammation is also what causes the pain when you go to the bathroom. It could cause, depends on what you eat and depends on your body 100% how it reacts, but that's what causes either the diarrhea or the constipation. It causes the cramping and all of that. And trust me when I say it's terrible, like it's terrible. IBS flares suck. So now all this sounds really depressing and sounds like I can never eat again, but it's not true, I promise. And if you're dealing with IBS and you haven't quite figured it out yet, I'm here to tell you that it's okay. There are things to do that will help it. We just have to start from the beginning, give your body a break, and really build it up. That's all you can do, is just build up your gut lining. For me, I looked into different IBS diets, and now it depends whether you're dealing more with constipation or more with diarrhea. And like I said, for me, I was dealing with the latter. So for me, what I couldn't eat, I found were really high fiber foods. Dairy, I already knew. Coffee was a big one. I haven't had real coffee in, oh my God, this last Christmas made 3 years, because I remember I gave up coffee, I believe it was like 2 weeks before Christmas, 3 years ago. And yeah, that sucked. I haven't had real coffee since. I do drink a coffee alternative, which is ground up barley. And now you would think barley is also high in fiber. Why doesn't it bother me? I've built up my gut lining. So it doesn't bother me like caffeine does, even though it is high in fiber. But if I were to have caffeine, it still does bother me. So I just avoid it completely. It's totally fine. This barley alternative tastes like coffee. Doesn't give you like the wake up that caffeine does. But honestly, I eat enough plants during the day that my energy is always at an all-time high. So like I really don't need a coffee. So that's what works for me. Couldn't eat too much fiber. Couldn't eat dairy. Couldn't drink coffee. I didn't like carbonated beverages anyways, so I never drank those. But I also had to give up fried and fatty foods, which I never really ate much of anyways. It was just like really cutting it out for a while until I built up my gut lining again. And it's not like I eat it all day every day now anyways. Like I really hardly ever eat fried or fatty foods. It's just here and there, you know? And then another big thing that I did that really helped me figure out what I can and cannot eat is I kept a food journal just for a couple weeks, and I started to notice what foods really bothered me. So for a lot of people with IBS, they cannot have high FODMAP foods. And FODMAP stands for fermentable oligosaccharides, disaccharides, monosaccharides, and polyols. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that last one properly. But basically what they are short chain carbohydrates and sugar alcohols. And these aren't really absorbed by our body that well. So that's why they can be the ones to often cause a lot of symptoms like gas and bloating and cramping and all that stuff, because your body doesn't really know how to properly break it down and absorb it, and it leaks to places that it shouldn't be. So for a lot of people, a low FODMAP diet is crucial in avoiding IBS flare-ups. And that includes a lot of foods. That could be a lot of high fiber vegetables, a lot of high fiber fruits, especially if you leave the skin on. A lot of people just peel them and then they're okay. For me, luckily, that wasn't a big deal. I could still eat my fruit and most vegetables, it was fine. What really did it for me was the nightshade vegetables. And to this day, there's some that I still cannot eat, absolutely not. And that's okay. I've just learned to live without them. So the nightshade veggies are white potato, tomatoes, eggplant, bell pepper, chili peppers, and then like cayenne pepper and paprika, because it comes from peppers. Some of them really bothered me. Like to this day, I cannot eat eggplant. I cannot eat bell pepper. White potatoes never really bothered me. Tomatoes never really bothered me. Paprika didn't bother me. So I was lucky because I cook with a lot of paprika. And to this day, it doesn't bother me. I can start to have like a couple bites of a bell pepper and I'm okay, but any more than that and it's like, ooh, no. Those really bother me. And now researchers don't really know why the nightshades bother people with IBS. Some researchers say it's because they contain certain plant compounds like certain alkaloids that are kind of toxic and work as like a defense mechanism of the plant to be out in nature and survive and all that fun stuff. But a lot of researchers say that these plants don't produce enough of those alkaloids to actually affect a human being. So Research is still up in the air as to why exactly these vegetables bother people with IBS, but I don't really care about that. I just know that they do bother me, so I avoid them, unfortunately. If you have IBS, definitely give those ones a try. Another one that bothers me, even though it's not a nightshade vegetable, is zucchini. And it's so sad because I love zucchini, but if it's cooked in something, like, I know a lot of people bake like breads with zucchini in it, or like chocolate cake with zucchini, that's totally fine. But if I'm having sauteed zucchini, oh my God, no, I cannot have that, which sucks because I love zucchini, but I mean, such is life. Another tip is to avoid large meals, because these large meals put a huge like tax on your digestive tract to break down all this food at once, so it can kind of be overloaded. So yeah, avoid large meals and your body might have an easier time breaking down your food, which leads to less IBS flare-ups, which is always good. Refined grains are another one that bother a lot of people, especially if you're dealing with constipation. So refined grains are anything like white bread, even whole wheat bread, anything that's not whole grain. So unless your toast is whole grain, don't eat it. High protein diets also bother people who are dealing with constipation IBS. I already mentioned the fried and fatty foods. That's more for people dealing with diarrhea, but it could affect constipation as well, depending on your body again. High fructose corn syrup is another one to definitely avoid, whether you have IBS or not. High fructose corn syrup is absolutely terrible. It is such a potent source of pesticides, and I'm gonna get into that in another episode. Pesticides are so bad for you. Monsanto is the devil. I'm not gonna get ahead of myself here. I could go on for days about that. But yeah, avoid high fructose corn syrup. It's really hard for your body to break down, causes a lot of negative side effects. And artificial sweeteners. So most artificial sweeteners out there are made off of sugar alcohols. And the reasoning behind that is it still gives you the sweetness, but it doesn't cause a spike in your blood sugar like regular sugar does. But these sugar alcohols, your body cannot break down, and it's really hard on your digestive tract. So now I've talked about things that I can't eat, my terrible time with IBS, and I know this all sounds very depressing, but it's not. This is the light at the end of the tunnel. I'm going to be talking about what I did to fix that. So first thing I did, like I said, was cut out all those foods that I know were bothering me. Number one thing to do. Second thing was I started adding collagen to my diet. Now, collagen, a lot of people know it as like the skin tightening miracle, and it's good for making your skin look like super young and youthful, and it is, don't get me wrong, but it's good for so much more than that. So collagen is a protein, and your body actually uses it to build up your gut lining. And I had someone ask me, okay, so if I'm taking collagen, like your gut lining sheds every few days. It does. But if you are constantly giving your body collagen, it's readily available to build up your intestines back up stronger, which is what you want. Because remember, IBS means you have a thin gut lining and it's very permeable. Think of like literally holes, like think of like Swiss cheese, but on a microscopic scale, that's what you're dealing with. So you want to fill in those holes and build it back up stronger. And that's what collagen does. Collagen has a huge hand in that. So I got powdered collagen that I think it was from Organica. If you want to try this out, send me a message. But I think everybody should be taking collagen every single day. It's good for so many things. You can also get it on my FullScript website. Just head over to my website and there will be a link on the right hand side. I started adding collagen to my greens that I drink every single day religiously. You don't taste it. You can add it to your tea. You can add it to whatever you want. It doesn't taste like anything and it dissolves perfectly, which I love. So collagen every single day. Another thing that I did was add aloe vera gel into my greens. So a lot of people know aloe vera as a laxative, and if you already have diarrhea, why would you be taking a laxative? But aloe vera gel has really potent anti-inflammatory properties to help reduce the inflammation that you're dealing with a leaky gut. So when you have all these like food particles floating in and out of your intestinal wall and your white blood cells are attacking them, it causes a lot of inflammation because it's like it's fighting off an infection. So you want to reduce that inflammation, and one good way of doing that is with aloe vera gel. Another thing that I added to my greens to build up my gut lining was L-glutamine. So L-glutamine is an amino acid, and it's one of the main amino acids that your body uses, again, to build up that gut lining. You want to always pump your body with what it needs to build it up, because even though it sheds every few days, if it has what it needs readily available, it will use that to build a stronger gut lining. I also started drinking bone broth. So if you're vegan, this is not going to work for you. But if you do consume animal products, this is a great, great, great thing to start incorporating into your diet, whether you have IBS or not. So how I make my bone broth, I get bones, like beef bones from the butcher, preferably like organic and grass-fed and all that. And I roast them in the oven for, I think it's like 2 hours that I roast the bones. And that just kind of like breaks down the structure of it so that you can get to the good collagen and gelatin inside. That's where, again, you're going to just be drinking collagen and gelatin, which helps build up your intestinal tract, but it also builds up your joints, which is another pro, which is amazing. So roast it for 2 hours, and then I boil it in some water for a few hours, and like you get all like the gross, fatty, nasty stuff coming out of it. You skim that off the top, and if you want, what I usually do is I let them kind of boil and cook for, how long do I do it? For like a total of 48 hours. If you're not comfortable with that, even 24 hours is good. Just the longer you cook out the nutrients from the bones, the more nutrients you're going to have available for yourself. And then you can make it into a nice broth. You can add vegetables in there. You can add a lot of herbs in there just to make it taste like a good soup. And I would have about a cup of it every so often. This is also amazing for boosting your immune system, might I add. So definitely think about it. I usually try and keep some on hand, but if you're not too savvy in the kitchen, or you don't want to waste all that time cooking it, which is totally understandable, Organica does sell a bone broth, a powdered bone broth, that all you have to do is add water, which is super convenient. It's still healthy. It's still safe. It's really beneficial. So if you're not one to make your own batch of bone broth, definitely look into some powdered bone broth options, and I definitely recommend Organica. The next thing you want to do is add a high quality probiotic to your supplement regimen. And what this is going to do is the beneficial bacteria in your gut is going to increase, and the bad bacteria in your gut's going to decrease. And these good guys actually help break down your food, which is awesome. Another thing you want to do to help break down your food, if your IBS is really bad, is add a digestive enzyme every time you take a meal. So what that's going to do is that's going to help break down your food before it gets to your intestines, so that they have less work to do to break down that food even more. And there's less of a chance of larger food particles floating through your intestinal wall. So digestive enzyme and probiotic definitely help break down your food, so it's easier on your intestines to do so. Finally, the last thing I want to add is to reduce stress. I know that's easier said than done. Like I said, I myself am still working on it, but it's so crucial to lower your stress levels if you are trying to fix your gut. There's a huge gut-brain connection, and when you're stressed out, you're actually affecting the microbiota in your gut. So you're actually affecting the number of good bacteria you have in your gut that are available to break down your food. And when you don't have enough good guys in your gut, that's called dysbiosis. Dysbiosis is related to so many conditions, so many more than IBS. And I know this episode is on IBS, but I just want to stress the importance of lowering your stress. No pun intended. But definitely, like, if there was one point to hit, it's that. 1000% reduce your stress levels. So just to recap everything, because I know I threw a lot of information at you guys. Start an elimination diet and see what foods are bothering you. Particularly look into a low FODMAP diet, and also try and avoid the nightshades and see how that affects you. Avoid caffeine, avoid dairy, avoid fried foods, and avoid refined grains. And I promise you will probably start feeling a lot better. And then things to add are collagen, aloe vera gel, L-glutamine, a good probiotic, bone broth, and also eliminate those foods that are bothering you. Now, if you do have an IBS flare-up, my favorite thing to do is drink chamomile tea. Chamomile tea is very soothing on your gut, especially. So whenever I'm having a flare-up, if I accidentally eat something that contains a trigger food, immediately I can feel it and I go have a chamomile tea. And within maybe like half an hour, the symptoms are completely gone and I feel so much better. Everywhere I go, I keep chamomile tea on hand. Like, I have a Ziploc baggie in my purse of chamomile tea. And if I'm getting a flare up, I will literally just ask someone for hot water and I have my tea on hand. And that's like my little IBS first aid kit. You guys should definitely try it. But yeah, so it's been fun talking to you guys. Hopefully you guys learned something from this episode. Hopefully if you're dealing with IBS, you try some of these tips and tricks out and hopefully it helps you. Don't forget to follow me on Instagram at Rosati Nutrition and follow me on Facebook again at Rosati Nutrition. Sign up for my newsletter on my website, rosatinutrition.ca. And yeah, catch you in the next episode.